broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico.
Bill going up about it. All right, I'll get to it. Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. And our number is 877-876-7445. Now, we got a hoodie to give away tonight. It's the Teds of Beverly Hills hoodie. And, you know, for anyone that might think we're taking advantage of this terrible news story, we've been selling the Teds of Beverly Hills hoodie for months. This has been in our shop for months. And we're quite obviously giving one away on the show tonight because there's a lot of people that are wearing hoodies now saying the following thing. I'm going to wear a hoodie, and it doesn't make me a criminal. If you want to wear a Teds of Beverly Hills hoodie, we got one. They're in our shop. You can buy one if you want. But tonight we're giving away one on the air here. And we're giving it away to people who can answer the five Phil Hendry Show questions that we will pose to you. We've asked three of them so far. I'm now going to ask the fourth. And to refresh your memory, the three questions that I asked were as follows. Give me the name of the very first character ever performed on the Phil Hendry Show. Number two, the name of Margaret Gray's husband. Number three, the names of Bobby Dooley's sons. And now, the fourth question tonight, and we just had the guy on the air, the California city where Bob Green's Fraser Foods is headquartered. Where is it? The California city where Bob Green's Fraser Foods is headquartered. Before we go to our next break, you'll get the final fifth question of the night, and then we'll need your answers. And if no one has all five correct answers, then, you know, maybe we'll do it again tomorrow night with a separate set of questions, probably. Or maybe we won't do it. Maybe we won't give away the shirt. And the reason why I say if nobody has the answer, you know, these are some, you got to be a pretty stone Phil Hendry fan, and I don't know how many of you are still, quite frankly, not dead from either a drug overdose or you were knifed in a prison yard fight.
Man, do you tell people that in prison?
I'm kidding, okay? God.
Yeah, I can't play salad, you jailbird.
I'm joking. I mean, I hope you have the answer. I don't know how many of you out there that would know the Phil Hendry Show that intimately are still walking around upright and not, I don't know, in sections in a suitcase off the side of a freeway someplace, having just been visited by Henry, portrait of a serial killer.
All right.
Shut up.
Bud gets scared.
Now, you get scared of that movie, Bud?
I don't like that movie at all.
That's a scary movie, huh, Bud?
Yeah.
That flick is so good, man.
You're mine.
Don't hit the microphone, you fool. What do you mean I'm out of my mind? That flick is one of the greatest movies ever made.
Are you telling me Henry a serial killer or a portrait?
No, I'm not talking about... I'm talking about Henry, portrait of a serial killer.
That's what I mean.
Yeah, I love that movie.
Pretty good movie, man, I'll tell you that.
Damn good movie. Creeps you out. It's supposed to creep you out. It's a freaking creepy story, man.
That guy is weird, especially when he sticks that one guy in the eye with a pencil.
That's right. God, those two cats in that movie. Well, they were based on two real guys. You know that, right?
Yeah. You told me already.
Oh, I did? Well, I'm going to tell my audience then. They were based on two real guys. They're based on Henry Lee Lucas and Otis Toole. Those two guys traveled together. And I saw that Otis Toole interviewed on one of these shows. Man, that guy's from outer space.
What was he doing?
Oh, he was freaking weird, man. This cat was sitting there going, yeah, that's right, you know. And then the dude goes, you talking about cannibalism? he's like laughing and indicating that when the subject of cannibalism was brought up, he was indicating that it was, you know, gave him a sexual rush.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that guy, that Otis Toole was a real piece of work. Now, it just so happened that on his deathbed, I say just so happened, it probably was the work of... I believe his daughter actually elicited, it was his daughter or someone, Otis Toole. I didn't know the guy had kids. That's in and of itself, that's bizarre. A man like that could father a child that would grow up to be at least this normal. That I think it was the daughter at Otis Toole's deathbed who got him to confess to murdering Adam Walsh, who was... as you know, the son of John Walsh, the man who started the show.
That guy started America's Most Wanted.
Yeah, that's why he started America's Most Wanted.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he started America's Most Wanted because his son was killed. So this guy, Otis Toole, I think, confessed to that murder on his deathbed. Now, Henry Lee Lucas, as far as I know, is still around. Or did he croak too? That guy, that's both of these guys, you know, and I'm not trying to say anything, but both of them had just the most unbelievably, gothically horrific childhoods that you could ever imagine. And just, I don't know, it just, it educates you as to just how depraved the human being can be with your own children, because both of them were sexually assaulted repeatedly as kids. And in the case of Henry Lee Lucas, I believe he was stabbed by a member of his family, might have even been his own mother, which reduced one of his eyes to just this sort of, you know, weird-looking thing in his head. I mean, the cat had a really strange look to him because one of his eyes was just...
Yeah, it looked like the eyeball put wrong in the sock or something.
Yeah, when they went to put it back, they put it in crooked. That's what I've seen.
Well, whatever, man. I mean, it's not... The man's disfigured as a result of some brutal act. So it just... You recoil. And when you hear stories like that, I don't know if you're like me. When I hear stories like that, all I want to do is find the kids that are still okay and put a wall around them somehow, protect them from that. And you hear these stories all the time. I just saw another one here where this girl went to jail for 20 years. This girl went to jail after killing her father because this piece of garbage was raping her and beating up her sister. I mean, they were going through this as kids, and she finally, I don't know what age, she picked up a gun one day and blew him away.
But they put her in prison.
They put her in prison for 20 years, man, in Missouri, I think.
Yeah, you got to go to prison to kill somebody.
No, not if it's an act of self-defense. And see, what's happening more and more, a lot of these women are pleading, well, if I didn't kill him, he was going to kill me. So it's an act of self-defense, and a lot of them are being either the charges are being dismissed, or they are being found not guilty, or they're being let out of prison. And in the case of this girl, I can't remember her name. It was in the state of Missouri. And in any event, she was in jail for 20 years until the outgoing governor of Missouri, Matt Blunt, commuted the sentence and let her out.
Oh, so she got out.
She got out. And she also had a reunion with the cop. There was one cop in this town that believed her, that saw her side, that was not asked to testify. He was not brought to the stand either by the prosecution or the defense, which was a glaring... Obviously, the prosecution is not going to bring this guy to the stand because he's going to say things the prosecution doesn't want him to say. Like, frankly, I thought she had a right to kill him because he was sexually abusing these girls and he was doing these things. But they didn't bring him to the stand. But the defense didn't either. Because the defense wasn't buying it. They thought it was good cop, bad cop, and that she was being set up. And nonetheless, what happened was she went to prison, but this cop always maintained that he believed she was innocent, and he was one of the people that...
You know the name of the cop?
I don't know his name.
How do we know you're not just making all this up, man? You ain't got no names or nothing.
I'm not making it up, okay? I saw it on the tube.
Yeah, how could it be made up then?
Yeah. Yeah, you know, you really can't believe everything you see on TV.
Are you guys nuts or something? I'll tell you right now. During the next break, I'll get the name.
You can't, man. We're doing other stuff.
Oh, that's right. We got to give away the hoodie. Well, all right. I'll do it at some point. We do have to give away our hoodie. So I've given you the four questions. It's time now for the fifth and final question. And what I'm going to do is put all the phones on hold until such time as I ask the fifth and final question. Then I will release the hold button, and we'll see who we have, if we have a winner. So the first four questions that you needed to answer correctly tonight are the following. The name of the very first character ever performed on The Phil Henry Show. That's number one. Number two, the name of Margaret Gray's husband. Number three, the names of Bobby Dooley's sons. The fourth question was, the California city where Bob Green's Fraser Foods is headquartered. What's the name of the California city where Fraser Foods is headquartered? If anything stumps people, it's going to be that one. And now the final question of the five that you must have answered correctly for the Ted's of Beverly Hills hoodie. The first person with all five answers wins. So that'll be the first person, the first line that I answer here tonight. Number five, in what part of his mother's house does Larry Grover sleep?
Man, that tough one for me.
I don't know. I think the other one. So the five questions in quick succession. The name of the very first character performed on the Phil Henry Show. Number two, the name of Margaret Gray's husband. Number three, the names of Bobby Dooley's sons. Number four, the California city where Bob Green's Fraser Foods is headquartered. And the fifth and final question, in what part of his mother's house does Larry Grover sleep? And no, that's not some Freudian question.
Yeah, I was going to say, people probably say, well, you're probably talking about sex.
No, all right. Anyway, those are our five questions. We're going to take a break. We'll be back either with the name of a winner or some further information on that. And more in our news and information hour here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. I'm releasing the hold button now. 877-876-7445, the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Will be right back.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
The bat, huh?
I can't believe that. I thought it'd take a bunch of people to get a winner.
Yeah. That guy had it right away.
He did. And the winner is Gary Barsetti, who lives in El Sobrante, California. So I learn something new every day. I've lived in California my whole life. I'm a native Californian. I never even heard of that town. Have you heard of it?
I never heard of that place.
Where is it at? Is it down like in East L.A. or something?
Is it down in East L.A.? No, it's its own town, man. It ain't in L.A. El Sobrante, California. And anyway, Gary is the winner. Gary Barsetti is the winner. Gary had all five answers correct, and he had them right off the bat. And he's suffering from laryngitis tonight, Gary, so thanks so much for bearing with all the questions. And he wins the Ted's of Beverly Hills hoodie that we gave away tonight. And I will give you the answers to these questions. So many of you guys probably calling in knew the answers. But Gary was, man, he was right on top of it. The very first question, the name of the very first character ever performed on the Phil Henry Show was Raj Fanin, and Raj was on the air with us sometime back in October of 1990, I think. Number two, the name of Margaret Gray's husband is Frank. Number three, the names of Bobby Dooley's sons are Dylan, Seth, and Justin. Number four, the California city where Bob Green's Fraser Foods is headquartered is indeed Buena Park, California. And finally, number five, in what part of his mother's house does Larry Grover sleep? The service porch. Sorry, Larry, that we had to let the world in on that one, but then again, you've announced it, so...
Yeah, you talk about being on the service porch all the time.
I know, but he's always saying he's on the service porch as a way to elicit our, elicit our sympathy or something, and I don't think he ever imagined that he would be part of a contest. And then, of course, the final bit of advice that Gary gave me tonight, don't get so serious, Phil, it's going to give you a heart attack. He's absolutely right.
They keep telling you, you're going to get a heart attack.
Well, but, you know, I mean, I take this gig seriously. There's that guy again.
I don't know who that guy is, man, but it makes me hungry.
Is that Jamie Oliver? Is that who that is?
Might be.
Is that guy from South Africa, that Jamie Oliver guy?
Yeah, it might be the guy that's talking all about that slime, man. Boy, that pink slime, I don't want to know about that.
What do you mean?
Well, like Phil was talking about.
But what is the stuff anyway? It's
that meat filler product, and it is slime. They had it on TV, and they showed a slime with like a pink glob of slime.
Well, I mean, like in the blob, it ate up the guy's arm.
It ain't eating up nobody's arm, man. I'm just saying it's slimy. And they put that slime in a food you eat. Now, how you feel about that? Give me your feeling on that.
Well, I don't want to put no slime in. You say, like, in the blob.
The blob didn't happen. You're aware of that, right, bud?
Yeah.
Well, then what is it with you talking about the blob like it's real?
Yeah, what is that?
I'm just saying if they said that the pink slime's bad.
But it's not the blob. It's not eating people's flesh.
What about the flesh-eating disease?
That ain't the same thing, man. The totally different thing.
Bud... Sometimes I worry about you, man.
Sometimes?
You're right. That's a good point. The blob...
I didn't say the blob is this. I said if the pink slime does.
No, man, the pink slime... What do you think it is?
What, do you think the pink slime landed here from another planet or something?
No.
It's something that they put into meat products that this chef, Jamie Oliver, he's the guy that made the big stink about it. I don't know. Maybe there were others. Maybe there was a consumers group. Maybe there was a citizens group. I don't know. But the pink slime that went into these hamburgers, and as a matter of fact, if you are watching tonight on Phil TV in HD, I got a black and white picture of it there. And there you can see the picture that I have on the screen. Cargill cuts pink slime output, sees hamburger prices rising. Now, that's a very interesting aspect of this, because what they're saying is, if they're going to stop with the pink slime, excuse me, if they're going to stop with the pink slime, they're going to have to raise hamburger prices.
Why?
Because that means, that essentially means for the same amount of hamburger that you are now getting, only you're getting pink slime in with the hamburger.
No, but I mean, it's all meat, right?
I don't know, man. Look, if it's all meat, then it's all meat. What are you talking about pink slime? What is that about? You know?
Yeah, well, what do you mean it's meat? Is it meat?
What?
The slime?
Yes, it's a meat. It is called, the actual professionals call it a meat filler product. It's called pink slime by Oliver and his cohorts because that's what it looked like when they had a picture of it. It was this pink glob of something. I don't know what. Consumer activists, including celebrity chef Jamie Oliver, campaigned to ban it, calling it pink slime and showing pictures of unsightly globs on television, on the internet. And obviously, if you're a cat with a big, big name like an Oliver, you know, you could do a lot of damage. And I don't know. I've had a hard time with the whole celebrity endorsement thing. By that, I mean, I can go either way in terms of its benefits, because obviously if I agree with something that's being said, then I'm saying, oh, yeah, isn't that fantastic that Jamie Oliver got behind that? If I disagree with it, let's say I'm in the meat cutting industry. Let's say I'm a butcher. Let's say I'm I don't know. And now some cat says, and the pink slime is bad and this and that. Now I'm pissed off at this guy because he's going to pull a hell of a lot more interest and people and attention to the topic than anything that any industry organization is going to be able to pull. And what if Jamie Oliver doesn't know his ass from a hole in the ground?
Well, you got to know something. He's a chef, know all about what's good and everything like that.
Well, what does that mean, bud? So he knows what tastes good. Okay, I understand that. Is the pink slime necessarily bad for you? Is it indeed slime? Are these simply pictures that Mr. Oliver and his people put on the internet of something that looks the same but is worse and it's not the same product and they just simply wanted to sort of slander this whole... that whole side of the argument. Cargill's move came 2 days after leading producer Beef Products Incorporated shut down 3 of 4 facilities making the filler and said 650 jobs were at risk. Cargill did not say whether any jobs at its plants were affected. So there's a little bit of a propaganda war going on here. Cargill and some of these other people are claiming that, okay, if you want us to get rid of this, that means that pink slime, in other words, if you get a pound of hamburger,
yeah,
and some of it's pink slime, then you're not getting a pound of hamburger, you're getting a pound of hamburger and pink slime.
Why do you keep calling it pink slime if not what that is?
All right, well, let's call it, if you're getting a pound of hamburger and actually some of it is meat filler product, then what you're actually getting is a pound of hamburger and meat filler product. You're not getting a pound of hamburger.
So you're saying what they put a pound of hamburger costs more?
Yes, exactly. That's what the meat producers are saying. They're saying, okay, you want a pound of hamburger, real hamburger, full hamburger, then it's going to cost you more. Now, here's what I resent, and I resent this more than anything in the world. In the chase for a dollar, which of course is what people chase, and I don't have a problem with that, but there has come a point, I don't know when we reach that point, but there's come a point where we now feel entitled to shortchange the consumer, because if we don't shortchange the consumer, why, we won't make the amount of money that we feel like we should make. So in other words, you want a pound of hamburger? Yes, I do. Here you go. Oh, well, yes, of course, there's meat filler product in it. Well, that's not what I asked for. Oh, you want a pound of hamburger? That's what I just asked you. Well, if you want the pound of hamburger without the meat filler, yeah, that's going to cost you more. Well, why didn't you tell me in the first place, man? I want a pound of hamburger. All right, here it is. And see the games that are being played, and it's being played in every industry. We're going to be back with the world-famous Phil Hendry Show to bore you more with that. No, I'm just kidding. We'll be back with trying to figure out what Bud's talking about with the blob. It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Yeah, about that quarter-mass experiment, too.
Quarter-mass experiment? Oh, get out of here.
Phil Hendry.
Woo! Quarter-mass.
Now, this is a really interesting thing. Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. And again, just another shout-out and congratulations to the winner of the Ted's of Beverly Hills hoodie this evening. It was Gary Barsetti of El Sobrano, California, the winner of our Ted's of Beverly Hills hoodie tonight. He had all five of the Phil Hendry Show questions correct. And we'll do it again very, very soon, I am sure. All right, so, Bud, you were all scared about Henry Portrait of a Serial Killer, right?
Yeah, we were talking about the blob.
Yeah, I know we were actually talking about pink slime, but the thing that I got off on when we started talking about the blob and you were all upset about Henry, and I was talking to Dan. Now, there's a movie that if you like horror movies that really disturb the hell out of you, like Henry Portrait of a Serial Killer, this is not, well, we're talking about a good, disturbing horror movie. I'm not talking about Friday the 13th, and I ain't talking about any of that jazz, you know.
Yeah, you're not talking about like Halloween?
No, get out of here with Halloween. Those are not scary movies. No, I'm talking about a movie that's going to creep you out, man. And I mean leave you thinking about it for days and days. And a good, really good horror movie leaves you feeling sick about the human condition in a lot of ways, you know.
Oh, great. A lot of fun that is.
Well, I mean, well, you know, either you can take it or you can't. All these people talk about horror movies. They don't know what a horror movie is. Now, that flick, that Henry Portrait of a Serial Killer. Now, there's another one, and here's the thing that really shocks me about this movie. I'm going to tell you about this movie. This is one of the best movies I've ever seen. This is one of the greatest horror movies I've ever seen. And on IMDb, it only got a 5.4 rating. Now, there's no way that you can watch this movie and not be profoundly moved by it. And yet, the viewers only gave it a 5.4, and I know why. It made them all scared and freaked out. See, people that want to see a good murder mystery, or they want to see a good suspense, or they want to see a good cop thriller, they don't want to be that involved in the actual world that cops and criminals and murderers and psychopaths inhabit. They don't really want to get that far into it because, you know, they want to feel that the good guy is going to win and that the psychopath gets taken out. And yeah, sure, you see gore and the killing, but the act getting into the head of a psychopath, that's no place that any movie viewer wants to go. And that's why this got a 5.4, because this movie, Carla, that I was going to tell you about, this movie takes you right into their world. Now, this is a movie about this scumbag named Paul Bernardo, who's still in prison, and Carla Homolka, who isn't in prison anymore. And when I tell you about her, you're going to wish she was. This film follows them as they went on a murder and rape spree in Toronto, Canada, I believe in the 80s. It might have been in the 90s, maybe early 90s. And eventually they arrested this Bernardo. He's in jail for the rest of his rotten, stinking life. And she, the story is very clear. She was an accomplice all the way. She helped him. She facilitated some of this stuff. I'm not going to get into it. She's as guilty as sin, but they cut a deal with her. And now she's out walking free.
You're kidding.
No, I'm not kidding. No, I'm not kidding. And I'd love to be able to say, well, there's Canada for you, but guess what? We do it all the time here. And I'm sitting in a state right now where we got guys on death row that are never going to go to the death house. So, you know, I ain't going to sit here and start lording over Canada and saying, yeah, we're going to take care of business up there. Yeah, like we do. But the point is, she walked. And she's as much a piece of garbage as he is. And I'm not going to go into it. But I guarantee when you read her story, you'll agree. Now, she's out, and I don't know where she is, and I could care less. But the film that they made about this, the movie called Carla, and the two actors, Misha Collins is the guy that plays Paul Bernardo. Man, this guy hits it right out of the park. You've never seen a performance like this. The guy's phenomenal. And this Laura Prepon, I think is her name, who plays Carla Homolka, she was tremendous. The whole movie is a sickening ride into the heads of psychopaths. Right into the crime scenes. Right into the moment of death. I can't describe it to you. You're just going to have to see it.
Yeah, but only got a 5.4. What sucked about it?
Let me tell you why it got a 5.4. I just told you why it got a 5.4. Because it was it's a real creep ride, man. It ain't it's not the boogeyman jumping out and scaring you. It ain't Michael Myers. It's not, that's none of that. It's not Rob Zombie. It's like, it's reality. Now, I mean, I don't know, because I've never been in a room as a psychopath is committing a murder, but I will tell you, it sickened me to the core, because the director and the way they shot these scenes, first of all, one of the most effective things to do in a horror movie is not to shoot the actual act of violence. It's to shoot one of the people that's witnessing it, the reaction of people. There's another great technique that was used often in the old days. They don't use it near enough anymore. It's to just shoot not the actual horrific scene that's going on, but the shadows. So you hear the sounds, and you only see the shadows. Well, this technique was used in this film. Not so much shadows, but the director would have the camera on her as he was committing these acts of violence. You can hear what's going on. You can't see it. You see her reaction to it. It's heavy. You know, it's not a movie. If any of that stuff bothers you at all, don't watch it. You know,
I don't want to see it. If you say it's like Henry the Serial Person,
Henry the Serial Killer, you dumbass.
Henry, that's what I mean.
Yeah, it's gonna affect you like that. If you didn't like Henry the Serial Killer, then don't see Carla, because it's gonna blow you away.
Then what's the point?
I don't know. Every now and again, I like a movie that does what it's supposed to do. You know. It shows the interior. You know, they say that that theater, whether it's a motion picture theater, it's supposed to illuminate something about human beings. I mean, really show us something about human beings. When I hear these dumbasses say, well, this is the way it is. This is real violence. No, it isn't. You watch movie violence got nothing to do with real violence. Nothing to do with it at all. You can watch all the movie violence in the world, and you won't have one clue as to what the violent world is like out there. The smell of it, the sound of it, the reality of it, the vulnerability. You don't have any idea. Movie violence is jive ass, and no director that has got out of kindergarten is going to look you in the eye and tell you seriously, this is a reflection of what's going on. Why, this is simply what the reality... Bull crap. So anytime any movie comes close to that, I mean, actually comes close to that disturbing place where you're looking at reality and it is a sickening place to be, and you may be able to escape it, but you'll never be able to escape the memory of it. You'll never be able to escape the smell of it. You'll never be able to escape the sound of it. You'll never be able to escape the fact that it exists in our world. That's a great movie. I mean, that's reality. That's the reality that they ask for. And it's not got nothing to do, really, with what you saw. It has more to do with the reaction to the person, that the reaction of the people and what it does to the people around it. So that's why you didn't like that movie, bud.
Yeah, are you saying I'm trying to escape on a reality?
Yeah. No, I'm not trying to say you're... No, I'm not saying you're escaping reality. I'm saying that it scares you. And it should. You know, it's scary. Real violence. But anyway, this flick, Carla, I highly recommend it. I highly recommend it, and I want to say it was directed by Joel Bender. It was written by Joel Bender and Minetta Rosen. I think it was made in Canada. It is. It's a Canadian production. It was made in 2006, so it's a fairly recent film, and the performances that he got out of these actors, really good. Really good. Really scary and terrific.
Be called Carla K?
Yeah, K-A-R-L-A, Carla. But this Carla Homolka, and, you know, I'm not going to go into the crimes they committed. They're gruesome enough as it is. You can go, you can read up on them, you do whatever the hell you want to do. When you read her story, the fact that they kind of deal with her, and even to this day, I think if not the DA or the what they call the Crown Attorney up there, if the Crown, if the Canadian District Attorney's didn't say so. I've heard newspaper writers up there say it. I've heard cops say it. Man, when we cut the deal with her, that was the worst thing we could have done. They regret it.
Yeah, they would have found out about that guy.
Well, you know, to hear the cops talk about it, they said, you know what, we would have caught that guy. We would have caught him, and we, you know, would have caught him red-handed.
Yeah, the cops always talk that way. They never do, though.
Well, what? What are you talking about, man?
The cops always say they're going to get the guy red-handed, and they always got to do a deal or something.
Well, I don't know, man. You may be right. I don't know what the cops said to the attorneys up there that are prosecuting this thing. I don't know. I don't know what evidence they had. But now they regret it. Now they regret it. Because she's walking around free as a bird after having been involved in some grotesque activity that'll make you throw up if you think about it long enough. I ain't kidding you. And they let her ass walk. Now, his ass, you know.
Yeah, his ass in jail. But she ever killed nobody?
What's that?
Did she kill anybody?
I don't think she actually killed, but what she facilitated and what she allowed to have happen, she was part and parcel of facilitating one thing, one particular act that'll make you throw up, okay? And she was there. She was an enthusiastic participant. And then all the other murders that were committed, she, in one way or another, helped facilitate these. She helped entice these girls to their death. She is as guilty as sin, man. And her ass is out walking around free as a bird. My understanding is she's married. My understanding is she's got kids.
What about that one? You're talking about that one lady who's really creepy.
What? Which one?
That kid.
Oh, Mary Bell?
Yeah.
Well, Mary Bell, I don't want to get into a big on thing about Mary. Mary Bell was, she killed. I don't want to get into it, okay? We'll do it another night, all right?
Yeah, tell people about Mary Bell.
Mary Bell was, she was 8 years old. She killed two little boys when she was eight. She strangled them in England.
You're kidding me.
No. No, I'm not kidding you. She went to prison, whatever prison they put 8 year old girls in. She got out as the result of whatever the law says in England about 8 year old murderers. And she has gone on to, I believe she's parented one daughter, and she has been granted by the government of Great Britain, this is something interesting, lifelong anonymity. What that means is in England, they have some guarantee that you can be anonymous for the rest of your life, and that legally they will enforce that. The government will back that up. So if at any point your anonymity is broken, the government will prosecute and or protect and or continue to help you with your anonymity. That's what she was granted because of death threats.
Yeah, I don't blame them either.
Me neither.
Well, I mean, to some degree. One of the mothers of the dead kid who's still alive, one of the boys that was killed, said, well, you know, she said, I don't have my son anymore. She has a daughter. You know, the lady, there was nothing the lady said that you could disagree with. But I just keep thinking, there's an 8 year old kid that did this, you know?
Yeah, that's a bad seed, man.
Bad seed.
Well, it is, man. Think about it.
Well, yeah. Yeah, it's way out there. Way out there, man. 8 year old girl, she strangled two little boys. And one of the little boys, she mutilated with after he was dead with a rock. She was eight.
Man, that's creepy, too.
Man, we're going to start crying.
I ain't crying, just creepy.
It is creepy. Well, you brought it up.
No, I didn't.
Well, you brought up the blob that led us down this road. We'll be right back on a world-famous Phil Hendry show here as we continue to talk about creepy stuff and freak out, bud. Amazon CEO is looking to recover the sunken Apollo 11 from the ocean. The Apollo 11 command module, they want to try to pull it up from the ocean. I don't know. I didn't know it sunk. I thought they pulled it out of the water with the astronauts. We'll see on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. Famous Phil Hendry Show.
All right, welcome back here on the world famous Phil Hendry Show. I am looking for just a slightly better copy of this because, wouldn't you know it, just as it always does, you know, the printer is not printing 100% of the page. And
what part is not doing?
But it's not printing the whole 100% of the page. Just hold on for a minute. But the essential point is this, that the CEO of Amazon, a internet billionaire and space enthusiast.
Yeah, it's probably the way the guy talks, too.
I'm sorry. Space enthusiast Jeff Bezos. You know, just like James Cameron and the other guy, Richard Branson, you know, these guys with money. Of course, Richard Branson's been at it a long time. I'm not saying these guys are not entitled, and I'm not even saying they don't have the skill, but it's interesting all of a sudden these cats with all this bread that want to go on these missions to Mars, as I call them. In any event, Mr. Bezos wants to bring to the surface from deep beneath the sea, the surface of the ocean, he wants to bring up the booster engines that powered Apollo 11 off of the pad there at Cape Kennedy in 1969. They are sitting at the bottom of the briny deep. They're out there in the Atlantic someplace. And by God, Bud, if you don't find this story, I'm just going to have to read it as is. They've been out there for four decades. These are the powerful engines that helped boost the Apollo 11 mission to the moon. Now, internet billionaire and space enthusiast Jeff Bezos wants to raise at least one of them to the surface. An undersea expedition spearheaded by Mr. Bezos used sonar to find what he said were the F1 to find what he said were the F1 engines located at the bottom of the ocean there, off of Cape Canaveral. According to an online announcement on Wednesday, the Amazon CEO and founder said he's drawing up plans to recover the engines, part of the mighty Saturn V rocket that launched Neil Armstrong, Buzz Aldrin, and Michael Collins on their way to the moon in July of 1969. The five engines, which produced nearly 7.7 million pounds of thrust, dropped into the sea as planned minutes after the launch. 4 days later, Armstrong and Aldrin walked on the moon. We don't know yet what condition these engines might be in, he wrote. They hit the ocean at a very high velocity, hitting the water there more than 40 years ago, and they've been in the water for more than 40 years. On the other hand, they're made of very tough stuff, so we'll see. He acknowledged the engines were the property of NASA, but said he hoped they'll be displayed in a museum. NASA expressed excitement about the find. The space agency said it has not been formally contacted by Mr. Bezos, and they would like some more information. So that might be something you'd want to do, Mr. Bezos, is contact NASA and tell them, you know, what you found. You know?
Why'd you got to do that?
Well, I don't know. I mean, you know, it's not his property. This is America's legacy. This is the legacy of our country. This is a part of our history. This is a part, if you want to say, it's a part of our birthright, you know. This was a piece of equipment that was built and set on its way by Americans in our mission to the moon. It launched three Americans to the moon, and this is not the property of this guy that runs Amazon. It's not his personal playground. And I think what NASA's saying, and I think anybody would say, well, thank you very much. That's a wonderful thing you've done. And
yeah, but I thought it was finders keepers.
Yeah, ain't it finders keepers?
Is it finders keepers? I didn't know you were doing finders keepers.
Well, I mean, you always say the possession 9 points of the law.
Well, maybe it is, man. Maybe it is.
Yeah, then what?
Well, I'm saying maybe it is, but I mean, have a little decency here. I'm just saying to this guy, and I'm not even saying Mr. Bezos would disagree with this. He probably agrees. I'm just saying NASA said they haven't been contacted yet by him, and I would think that he would contact them.
But what's he going to say? We got your engines.
Well, you can... But it's not a hard thing to say, hi, NASA, I'm a private citizen, my name is Mr. Bezos, and, you know, I funded a expedition to find these engines. We have found them. I thought you'd like to know. I am further going to, make a recovery or stage some kind of a recovery effort, and maybe NASA can give them some advice. Maybe he can tell them, It just seems like the right thing to do. I don't know. Because like I said, they aren't his, man. They belong to all of us. This is part of America's history.
Yeah, but that was me, man. I'd put him up in my house or something.
Yeah, I'd put him in a backyard. And you could probably have people, you know, make a slide out of him.
Yeah, I'll bet you guys would do that, wouldn't you?
I don't understand what's wrong with it.
What's wrong with it? These are the... See if you guys can just kind of wrap your minds around this for 5 seconds, okay? These are the engines on the rocket that powered the first three men to walk on the moon. They were Americans. These engines powered a rocket off of American soil in Florida in 1969. This is part of American history, okay?
Yeah, but you were around then. I wasn't.
Yeah, neither was I.
Well, yeah, I was around then, so I remember, okay? It's like saying, oh, why don't we just take the Declaration of Independence, man, and Bud, you can use it as a placemat.
I wouldn't do that. Are you crazy? That's the Declaration of Independence.
You're a jackass. You know that?
Well, I mean, I don't understand.
You just get out of here.
That is a Declaration of Independence.
The Declaration of Independence? Man, I ought to kick your ass for that alone, okay?
Whatever.
Yeah. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show is produced... I ought to kick your ass for that segment we did with no audio. The World Hendry Show? Yeah, that's my name. Meta World Peace and World Be Free. I'm Phil World Hendry. Anyway, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show is produced by Phil Hendry, by Dan Northcraft, and by others as yet unseen. Thank you very much for being with us. Thanks for your patience. God bless. And you're right, sir. I got to relax. We'll see you guys tonight. Woo, man.
Phil Hendry.